This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host Larry Bluestein on 560 WQAM.
Back with you for hour number two up until 10 o'clock as Hialeah's own Hector is taking us right up until 10 o'clock. Bailed us out in the Charlie Strong interview, but USF fans, you got what you needed. You got 9.5 minutes of Charlie Strong. So found out a little bit about that as well. The Centene South Florida High School Sports Show is cared for by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. As we were talking just a little while ago about UCF and what they have done, and had an opportunity to go up there for their camp on Friday and then their 7-on-7 on Saturday this past week. Talked to Randy Shannon and all the guys, Corey Bell and also Willie Martinez from down here, and also head coach Josh Heupel, and he's done a tremendous job, and what a difference up there. Jason Beatty, who has done an awesome job covering UCF, joins us this evening. Jason, thanks so much for taking the time. And I'll tell you what, UCF's getting nicer and nicer every time I go up there.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, we have a saying at UCF, it's under construction forever, so we don't come as often as every fan Saturday in the fall. Something will always be new, whether it's a new building or just everything is just, oh wait, it's building. And they just announced a small expansion to Spectrum Stadium to add 800 more seats. It's always growing at UCF, for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, we had an opportunity to watch their camp on Friday night, which was really well attended. You know, I mean, they drew some kids from South Georgia as well as South Florida there, which is always a good thing. They had like 300-400 kids, and it was really, I mean, it was rainy and everything. Most people would have stayed away, but this, I think they brought down like a bus from Fernandina Beach, and all the coaches were out there with the linemen, and it was really good. And then it kind of spilled over to Saturday with the 7-on-7, and they're doing a little construction over there right on their field, on their indoor. I think they're connecting it to their football offices, it looks like. And I'll tell you what a great time. A lot of enthusiasm around campus. They were telling me that they will have 65,500 students enrolled when they open up in late August, which is pretty darn
the largest student population in the country. And, you know, the good thing about UCF is it's not just big, but it's a really good school. It's top 25 in a number of categories among public universities. You know, that's one thing that is so appealing about UCF for a number of recruits. Whenever I talk to recruits, they say, well, it's not only about football at UCF, it's also about education.
Right.
And you look at just how big the university is. They're not only big, but they're good at being big. They're able to sustain 65,000 students, and they're able to sustain a high graduation rate and be good in the classroom and on the football field and among other sports, too. It's not just a football school, as I've mentioned before on this show.
And also watching, you know, some of the players from South Florida who were working, you know, the camps and stuff like that. And if you read my blog today, 19 from Dade Broward and Palm Beach. It wasn't like that. And these kids are quality kids. I got a chance to talk to a lot of them. Talk about that. You're a South Florida guy. I mean, to have that type of, you know, firepower coming up there, and you could see firsthand how big and strong a lot of these kids are getting up there. Talk about that as far as with the pipeline that they've set up with the coaches that I mentioned, with Corey Bell and Randy Shannon, also with Willie Martinez.
Yeah, obviously, when you have Randy Shannon on your staff and the other coaches you mentioned, Randy especially, you have a big connection to Miami all of a sudden that you didn't have before. You know, I'm from Key West, Florida. I watch a lot of South Florida football. I think it's the best best area, just such a hotbed for football. One of the best areas in the country, not just in the state of Florida. I mean, you look at the current 2020 class for UCF, 6 of the 7 guys committed are from Florida, but 3 or 4 of them are from South Florida, exactly. So I think, as you know, you watch tons of high school football in South Florida. It's just different down there. It's just a different type of game. I mean, you look at the last couple of years at the state championships, and it's the South Florida teams just win in a bunch of them. And I just think they realize what's down there, and they realize who they want to go after. They realize the schools that want to come to their camps, Booker T. Washington, just some of the better schools. It's not just random schools in South Florida. It's the better schools that want to come and play at UCF.
Right.
Look at some of the recruits in recent years and future classes. They know what they're doing.
And as we're speaking with Jason Beatty, the thing too, Jason, is when you take a look at this week, what's happening this week, you have that padded camp, and then they have Armwood and Booker T and Miramar and all these schools coming, up for the event, which is a marquee event. To get those type of athletes on your campus,
you're having the best athletes there.
Yeah,
you're having the best athletes right in your campus, right in your football stadium, right playing in front of your coaches, and you're able to, I don't think we'll get any commitments, but you'll be able to talk to a number of talented athletes and give offers out. And that's, when you're getting those schools at your premier event, you're doing a good job.
And even with the 7-on-7 this last weekend, getting a premier team like Ocala Vanguard and Miami mm-hmm. Carroll City coming up, and just to have a good, and two, I think I related this to Coach Heupel, in the previous regime, they didn't really embrace Orlando as much as they should have. They kind of turned their back on schools like Evans and Dr. Phillips, but yet you look at the other day, you have an Orlando Edgewater and an Orlando Timber Creek with a lot of athletes and a lot of talent that are going to furnish that program because of the fact that you have to embrace it and not run away from the fact that you have talent. Oviedo, right down the block. How far is Coco's? A 40-minute ride, 35-minute ride. So you're
maximum.
Right. Yeah. So you're right there on the Space Coast, too. So the recruiting power just in the Central Florida area, and I think that they've turned that up. I think that Coach Heupel understood, obviously talking with coaches like Shannon and guys who have recruited, a long time down here. And you can notice, you could see in everything that goes on at that program. It's a professionally run program. I mean, everybody knows what they're doing. As you said, a lot of construction going on at all times. But at the same time, these parents come on to that campus for the first time. And, they say to themselves, well, wow, there may be 65,000 kids that go here, but this is not an intimidating school. And it really isn't because it's spread out. You still have a lot of spread out areas. So, it doesn't look as imposing as it may if you really had to take it on. But, yeah, new buildings all the time. I mean, I went there back in the late 70s, and I could just tell you now what the difference it is, what happened now. And just a lot of these companies, as you mentioned, from an educational standpoint, you're hooking themselves in with the university because it's a global area. You have international students. It really is. I think UCF, a lot of people kind of overlook it, outside the area. But and certainly when it comes to athletics, as we mentioned with the baseball program and the basketball program, with the NCAAs and all that, it's really something that I know that you're proud of. But talking to Coach Josh Heupel, who seems like a really good guy. An open-minded guy who has embraced all this, and a lot of this was handed, put on his lap because the job that that the previous regime did, but certainly he's maintained it and kind of elevated it in some areas himself.
Yeah, when Josh Heupel was hired, I mean, it seems like yesterday, but what he's done since then has been really impressive. To take over a team like that, very talented team, to run the board on the regular season and get the Fiesta Bowl. From the day he got hired, he said this is one of the best college football jobs in the country.
Good stuff.
And I think it's showing. It's not only from a football standpoint, but from an academic standpoint. I mean, like you mentioned, there's a number of companies like NASA and Disney. And
yep.
I mean, if you wanted to not play professional football and you wanted to get a career, UCF is the place to go for that because there's just so many opportunities in Orlando and around the area.
Yep, good stuff. Jason, I appreciate it as always, man. You bring it strong. Keep in touch during the summer when the season gets started. We'll hit you back up and see what's going on up in Orlando.
Absolutely. Make sure to follow along all the latest. Knights247.com. I'm at the Real Beedy, BEEDE. On Twitter. Make sure to follow along. Plenty of stuff coming up this weekend, like you said.
Good stuff. Jason Beatty, sorry I cut you off. Jason Beatty, we're on that. Now we're on that little speed thing to get everybody in. When we come back, we have Coach AJ Scott from Miramar and Charles Fishmine will join us from Elite Scouting Services.
This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host, Larry Bluestein, on 560 WQAM.
Back with you on a beautiful Monday evening. I really haven't been outside in a couple of hours, so it could be raining. But it could be dry, too. But it's always a nice night. South Florida is just the greatest place to live, I'm telling you. Year-round, there's no better place to live. Thanks so much to Jason Beatty from Knights 247 for joining us, UCF. And seems like just a couple of days ago, we were all up at UCF. Coach A.J. Scott at Miramar was up there. We had an opportunity to see them and Carroll City. And it's always good to see a lot of the programs outside the area, too, because you get competition and against teams that you probably won't see, you know, again. And Miramar played tough, and they played against the eventual champions, Ocala Vanguard, good team. But Coach A.J. Scott has done an awesome job over the last couple of years getting this is a rebuilding spring to get this team ready for 7A, and he's kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me
anytime. I was just saying we were just in Orlando at UCF, and what a great job that the coaches staff up there did on their 7-on-7 and their camps. And it's always good to have an indoor facility because then you can start running stuff inside. And you guys have been doing extremely well in the off season. Because you guys are getting everything together. You're playing together. Your line kids are going to camps, and also winning a couple 7-on-7 events. How was that for you guys the other day? It seemed like pretty competitive.
Yes, it was very competitive. UCF did a great job. Hosting a 7-on-7 with a lot of competition, a lot of schools from down this way, a lot of schools from Central Florida and North Florida, and it was just great to see my kids compete. You know, we didn't win it all, but we did lose against a team that won it all. So, I was pretty proud of my kids, the way we competed. You know, every day, you know, just want to get better each day. That's the main goal.
I saw you during the spring, and you and I talked about just putting some new kids in new places. You know, it takes time. It's not something that's going to be, happen overnight. Obviously, graduation took its toll on your team. You had a lot of kids, graduate. But you have some young guys. I mean, your secondary is probably as good as you get. You have your defense always is going to be strong offensively, breaking in some new kids in different places. Talk about this team as you came out of spring going into summer. What you felt? Did you? I mean, when we talk, you seem like you weren't concerned. You knew that once these kids started, getting in a routine, positive things had happened.
Yes, at Miramar, we always keep out the outside noise. You know, we don't care what people say.
Yeah,
we have on the inside. We have a strong JV program. And DB wise, I mean, I think I have the best DB group in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
I do have a lot of young kids, and just trying to develop the young kid. You know, I keep a lot of good coaches on the staff, and we have to know how to teach. And you have to know how to teach at Miramar. We might not have the five star, the known name that you're looking for, but we're going to create one. We don't have to go get one. We'll create our own.
Yeah. No, I mean, and not only that, is there's always been, that type of positive attitude. I mean, all the kids that played and watched a lot of the teams of the past over the last decade, and they saw what type of talent, and you guys have that. I mean, you have the talent. As I watched in the spring game against a really good Edison defense, you guys, tried a lot of different things. But things, I think, for you, I think the best is ahead, because I think that a lot of these linemen that you have are starting to grow up a little bit, getting a weight room, getting a little bit more mature. And once you get your offense going with your quarterback, you know, feeling comfortable, and you have some receivers to make plays, I mean, your offense, and you're going to get tested every day in practice by your defense. So that's the best thing in the world.
Yes, it is. You know, offensively, you know, we're coming along. You know, we have three, four guys battling that quarterback. I think receiver-wise, we have pretty much everything we need. My O-line is young, but they're growing up every day, you know, and getting punched in the stomach and learning how to punch back, and that's the main thing. I think defensively, we should be pretty good. You know, every year I hold my defense to a high standard, you know, and I think if we can shut people out, you know, we should be able to win most of our games, and hopefully the offense can put up points. That's the main thing you're looking for as a head coach.
Yeah, no doubt. Joining us, head coach A.J. Scott from Miramar, a team that always is in the mix. Now, Coach, you change classes this year. You and Plantation go out of 8A to 7A, which is always going to be competitive. You know, you bring up St. Thomas, but you guys play them every year, so it's not, as you and I talked before, it's the obstacle in your head, and not only that, you get to play them during the regular season. Wow, the schedule makers are so friendly, but it only gets you better. And you and Plantation, two of the teams that really made some major strides last year in 8A, get an opportunity to come down. What are you guys looking forward to? I mean, because you have a challenging schedule, you have a lot of teams in your district that could play. No difference. It may be a little bit more competitive than 8A was from top to bottom. 7A. Talk about that move and how your kids will, you know, how they embrace it.
Yeah, moving to 7A, I think we're pretty excited, you know, about the new competition. You know, we're in a brand new district now, and I'm pretty sure those teams looking at us and we're looking at them. You know, and playoff wise, you know, you got to earn the right to get to the playoffs, and you know, we have history with St. Thomas. You know, I think I've been at Miramar since 2008.
Yeah,
I probably coached against St. Thomas more than any coach in Broward County. I feel like it. You know, so you know, my kids, you know, they're ready. You know, they're ready for the challenge. I'm ready for the challenge. My coaching staff is ready for the challenge. Miramar Patriots is ready for the challenge. So we'll be ready.
No doubt. So what is the – now here we are in the coming up on the third week of June. What is the rest of the summer before you guys start getting it in late July? What's the next month going to be like for you? Do you do more traveling? Do you get into any more 7-on-7s? What's ahead for Miramar?
Yes, more work. We have the Paddy Camp coming up at UCF. We will be well tested for that.
Yes.
I know Arnwood is going to be there. A lot of top schools from up north. I think some schools from down this way will be there. And I can't wait to see what my kids really have. You know, really going to find out what we're made of. It's not 7-on-7. It's real football, Paddy Camp, real for real tackling and hitting. So we'll be, you know, tested, and after that, we'll probably do one or two more 7-on-7s just to sharpen up a little bit before we get ready for Columbus for the kickoff class.
And you have a really decent schedule, too. You were telling me there's no slacking here. I mean, you guys play a really challenging schedule. Talk about some of those games that are going to get you ready.
Well, definitely Columbus, you know, up front, you know. I mean, wow, you know, they went to state last year.
Yeah.
Even though they have a brand new head coach, Columbus is Columbus. Columbus has been good over the years because I've been coaching. They always been pretty good. Then we have Norlin, and then Dillard, and then American Heritage Plantation.
Wow.
And then we got St. Thomas. You already know, you know, St. Thomas, and Miramar. You never know what can happen.
No,
they got us back last year. We got them 2 years ago, and you know, we can't wait.
Those first four games are going to be good because it's going to get you better in every game, and by the time you reach game four or five, you'll be a lot more challenged, and the younger kids will, you know, are not going to be so gun shy. And watching you guys, you're right. Your defensive secondary is full of playmakers, kids that could turn the tide, and they're getting recognized about it. The dark side defense is still very much intact, Coach. Impressive. impressed at the job you guys are doing. I know there's a lot of young, new faces. I see the other day I saw a lot of kids that I hadn't seen since youth football, and and it wasn't that long ago. So yeah, they're young, but you know one thing: by the end of the year, these kids are going to be battle tested and ready to make a statement. And again, thanks so much for taking the time. It was great to see you guys. It always is great to see Miramar, and whether it's 7-on-7 at a padded camp or during the season, we'll always be there for you, Coach.
Hey, thank you for the support. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Coach AJ Scott, Miramar High School has done an awesome job. If you were there a couple years ago for the St. Thomas game, you kind of understand what they're pretty much capable of. Don't forget, about 9:45 or so, Coach Kyle Whittingham, University of Utah head coach. We'll talk to him about, just recruiting in general. I mean, obviously, they don't come into Florida a lot, but they have some kids. The Hallandale kids, we'll talk to him about that as far as the conference being in the Pac-12, which is a very competitive conference as well. But right now, we check in with Charles Fishbein, as we do quite often. He's been running around. He was up in Tallahassee. He was up in Gainesville. So he's had an opportunity to do some great things. He's kind enough to join us this evening. Charles, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, how are you doing, Larry?
Good, good. I know that you've been out and about. This has been a pretty busy week for you. You had an opportunity to see some of the talent up in at the University of Florida as well as at FSU. What was that like? Obviously, Florida's like on that upswing. They're getting a lot of those kids because they played so well last year.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. If you go on the Florida message boards, you'd swear they weren't recruiting that well, but then you walk out. Yeah. And see there a kid like Jacquavius Frazier's from Dinillon, and you're like, this is a grown man out there playing football that's going to be playing on Sundays. So I just think sometimes these fan bases, they follow the what the guys that are running these sites say, and they go a little overboard, but they're doing very well from the recruiting standpoint.
And they're in a different area too. I mean, if you're Miami or FIU, you hold an event. I mean, you get kids from Orlando. That's a pretty good undertaking. But Gainesville being as close as they are to Georgia, and maybe even into couple of other states, which are 3-4 hours away, what a great advantage for them too. You know, because they get to pull in a lot of the kids, you know, regionally as well as locally.
There's no question. You know, Valdosta was there playing in their 7-on-7. So that's right on the border of Florida. And,
right.
You know, there's a kid that's committed from Valdosta High School to the Gators that is a big-time prospect. So, yeah, they were pulling guys in. They had schools from all over the state. I mean, Miami Palmetto was there. We've talked about how talented they are. And Leonard Taylor was at the big man camp. And then after he was done working out with those guys, he's running out there and playing tight end and running routes for the offense. So
he's a premier kid. Premier kid. Only as he's a 2021 kid. He's only going to be a junior. Obviously, one of the up and coming guys that a lot of people really haven't had a chance to watch yet. You know, he started out at South Dade, went to Southridge, and now he's at Palmetto. This is a guy that you and I talked. This is a play on Sunday definitely type kid.
There's no question. He's a guy that's going to develop into an NFL player. The one guy that's really, really improved, and I liked him last year, but has improved and doesn't get talked about enough, is a Breshard Smith kid. He dominated the 7-on-7 the other day. He literally comes to complete stop, lets the defender come to him, makes one little move, and then blows by him and scores. And how many running backs you see, they're good at being a running back, but then you put him out in the flats, he could catch the football, he's got great hands, and his versatility is going to make him a very good prospect to the next level.
Charles Fishbein joining us, Elite Scouting Services. Also, Florida, because when you win and you get a lot of the kids, I mean, their secondary is a lot of South Florida kids. You have Marco Wilson on the men getting better. The kid Henderson from Columbus, I know you like him a lot. That's a good team. We saw Florida at the end of last year, and they put on a show. They beat Michigan pretty good in the bowl game. What kind of season do you look at Florida having?
Mullen's a great coach. I think what he does is he's able to take quarterbacks, no matter what style, and develop them and make them productive. I mean, before last year, Felipe Franks was probably one of the worst quarterbacks in Power 5. And last year, he made him a player that teams had to respect, and they were able to run the football very well. But he wasn't just limited to being just a guy handing the football back there. He actually gave them a passing threat, and Mullen's done a phenomenal job so far there in year one. So.
And then you had an opportunity to go over to Tallahassee and Florida State. This is a program, as you know. I mean, we kind of dance around all these issues about how great things are, but at the end of the day, Florida State didn't go to a bowl game. They had a losing record. And that's something, you know, and we found that down here, Charles, because, you know, everything that Manny Diaz and the Hurricanes are doing is positive. But outside the area, they were still 7-6 last year. So there's a reality base outside of your fans that when these guys come in, they got to do a sales job. Florida State's got to do a sales job. Miami's got to do a sales job. How's things going at Florida State? Because I know they have the, as you mentioned, a new offensive line coach that a lot of people really like a lot. They have some really good people on staff right now. Willie Taggart's trying to turn the corner, but he doesn't have much of a leash. I mean, those fans are not going to tolerate what happened last year. What kind of sense you get now?
It's crazy. They wanted to get rid of Jimbo, the fans, and they wanted to get rid of him, and then Taggart was like this happy-go-lucky guy. Everybody loved them, and the honeymoon's over. It's that quickly it went south with the 5-7 season. The talent, there is talent there, and I think that's the one thing. I think people think, oh well, they're 5-7. There's teams that are 5-7 that don't have talent. They have a lot of players. Their offensive line does need to be fixed, but you go out there, they took a kid like Chaz Neal a couple years ago that some said will never play there, and here he is. He's 6'7", 300 pounds, and wow. Someone they're counting on this year to possibly start at one of the tackle spots. So, you know, that's the main thing with them this year. They really need to fix the offensive line for them to be productive on the offensive side of the ball. But, you saw a couple of those guys a few years ago at the Under Armour game, a guy like Joshua Kando.
Yep.
You go out there, and he's working the camp, and there's not many better-looking defensive ends in the country. I don't care if it's Clemson, Alabama. The kid looks like a first-round pick. Off the hoof. Now, Do they need to play to that level? There's no question that they need to play to a higher level and get them back to a bowl game this year.
Charles Fishbein joining us, Elite Scouting Services. And also, you look at Cam Akers, you look at big-time guys. I mean, I remember when Florida State signed Cam Akers, it was like one of the biggest signees they had in a long time. It's not like he hasn't been productive. It's just that he's been in a situation where the offensive line, they've had questions at quarterback. They didn't have playmakers or receivers, so they could kind of stack the box on him a little bit. Does he seem like in a better frame this year where he's got more people around him that he can really do his thing?
I think he's in better shape. I mean, I went out there the other day and, you know, the kid's ripped, and I think he's put the time in this off season. You know, he was used to playing in a pro style offense. They went to more of a spread. He wasn't comfortable playing in that. I feel like with the new offensive coordinator, Coach Bryles, and offensive line coach, these kids seem a lot more comfortable, and when you speak to the guys, up there, they feel more comfortable about what they're teaching them this year. I just don't feel like the offensive players and the staff were on the same page a year ago.
And they always have talent. I mean, obviously they have. The question mark remains probably for them, like a lot of, do they have enough depth up front to last an entire season? Last year they had a lot of injuries, and then they had really no quality depth to plug in. So, I mean, they were losing games that they shouldn't have. Does this year, did they load up? I know that Corey Bender was telling us about how Florida, recruited 7 linemen, you know, in the class, this last class. Is Florida State heavy with the linemen? And
no question at certain positions they have depth. They're more deeper and talented at wide receiver than they were a couple years ago. They're secondary. You know, when you bring in guys like Akeem Dent and you're able to play those guys behind a Stanford Samuels, LaVonte Taylor, these guys that have been there, they're very deep in the secondary.
Yes.
Their linebacker position, they've made major upgrades from even a year or two ago. So they have to build it back up, and that's usually the difference between being a 7-5, 8-4 team and starting to compete. Not only for conference championships, but national championships as well.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously, standing in their way is Clemson, and that's just an obstacle because for so many years, Florida State was that obstacle. You know, I mean, and people had to go over them. Now it's Clemson, and you see the way Clemson recruits, and you see how many linemen that they lost in the draft, and they still have kids. That to me, that's what I'm saying, Charles. That's the mark of a program that, you know, that could keep on going. I mean, you know, if a Miami loses those type of players or a Florida State, it's just tough to move on. But
there's no question that up front they've got to get better. But, you know, when Florida and Urban Meyer was there, and Jimbo had first taken over at Florida State, you know, you could close the gap quickly if you get one or two classes. It's not a 4-5 year process.
Yeah.
So like Miami and Florida State, it seems like they're miles away from Clemson, but one, they got to both win, and that will bring the better players. These kids want to see them win, period. And you can even see it with their recruiting. A lot of guys want to commit to them, but they want to see what that offense looks like first.
Yeah.
So the fans sit there and go, well, why aren't these kids committing? Well, they haven't seen what a Briles offense could look like at Florida State. So how do you think those prospects feel? And you know, they're, you know, other schools are negative recruiting a Miami and a Florida State
because
of that.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, Charles, I appreciate you checking in with us. Thanks so much as usual, and we'll catch up with you really, really soon.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you later.
Good stuff. Charles Fishbein from Elite Scouting Services. When we come back, we wrap things up for a Monday evening. Head coach Kyle Whittingham from the University of Utah.
Let's go! This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host Larry Bluestein on 560 WQAM.
Back to wrap things up for a Monday evening. Thanks so much to Charles Fishbein from Elite Scouting Services and head coach A.J. Scott from Miramar for joining us in the last segment. Now we turn our attention back to college. And one of the programs that probably doesn't get a lot of play in South Florida, but it should, because as we told you, we have, from the state of Florida, six players playing at the University of Utah. And Coach Kyle Whittingham has done an awesome job. If you follow college football, especially in the Pac-12, exciting brand of football. We've had numerous players over the years compete in that conference, but there's something special about Utah. The kids, especially going out here, there, all the way from here, and just fit in. It's like a family, and certainly an exciting brand of football. And Coach Whittingham is kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
You bet. Appreciate you having me on, Blue.
Anytime. You know, you take a look at this situation that, you know, the brand of football that you guys have played since coming into the Pac-12. I mean, it's been keeping up with the Joneses. You saw that the USCs were up top. You went out and recruited right with them. All the programs from Washington, every team that has stepped to the forefront, Utah has always been there every step of the way, believing that they should be right in the mix for every top athlete. Talk about that, because I think there's a lot to be said for that, because first of all, not being in a huge area. I mean, Salt Lake City is a kind of a remote area from, you know, the rest of the country as far as that's concerned, but you guys have a lot of talent in state, plus California in the West. You have kind of like, it's like a smorgasbord of recruiting for you. I look at your roster, and you have kids from everywhere, and that's an advantage for you.
It is, and we we've been fortunate. We've had very good success with the athletes we brought in from Florida, and our starting quarterback, our starting running back, starting wide receiver, all from Florida this year. And it's been a very fertile ground for us. And then mixing in a bunch of in-state kids, we got a bunch of kids on our roster from the state of Utah, and then California and Texas, and that's where the majority of the athletes come from. And you're exactly right; it's all about recruiting. It's all about getting the right kids in your program, and then obviously they got to have a certain skill set. But we've been in the league, I think, going on 9 years now, and we think we've closed the gap. When we got in the league, we felt good about our our starting 22, but after that, you know, the depth wasn't really there, and the speed on the perimeter was also something we were a little bit short on. And we think we've made up a lot of ground over the last 8 or 9 years, and we feel pretty good about the team we got coming up, coming in this fall.
You know, Coach, you brought up the three players in Tyler Huntley and Zach Moss and also Simpkins. The one thing that we saw during the spring, and we played up more than anything, is they graduated in 3 years. I mean, think about that. I mean, here's guys from completely different part of the region of the country that would go out there and think enough about hitting the books constantly year round to put themselves in a situation where they come back and play next year and they're already graduated. And I mean, if there's not a better selling point for a college program, that's it right there. And we, like I said, we played that up more than any story that we played up during the spring, only because of the fact that it just, you don't hear that anymore. And here's three guys, as I said, worked extremely hard in the classroom and certainly are all starters on your football team coming back for their final year. But and all of them are draft, you look in the draft and all of them have an opportunity to either be drafted or to be invited into some NFL team. So kudos to you guys for doing that and for producing student athletes like that.
This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host, Larry Bluestein, on 560 WQAM.
Back to wrap things up for a Monday evening. Thanks so much to Charles Fishbein from Elite Scouting Services and head coach A.J. Scott from Miramar for joining us in the last segment. Now we turn our attention back to college and one of the programs that probably doesn't get a lot of play in South Florida, but it should because as we told you, we have from the state of Florida, six players playing at the University of Utah, and coach Kyle Whittingham has done an awesome job. If you follow college football, especially in the Pac-12, exciting brand of football. We've had numerous players over the years compete in that that conference, but there's something special about Utah. The kids, especially going out here, there, all the way from here, and just fit in. It's like a family, and certainly an exciting brand of football. And Coach Whittingham is kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
You bet. Appreciate you having me on, Blue.
Anytime. You know, you take a look at this situation that, you know, the brand of football that you guys have played since coming into the Pac-12. I mean, it's been keeping up with the Joneses. You saw that the USCs were up top. You went out and recruited right with them. All the programs from Washington, every team that has stepped to the forefront, Utah has always been there every step of the way, believing that they should be right in the mix for every top athlete. Talk about that, because I think there's a lot to be said for that, because first of all, not being in a huge area, I mean, Salt Lake City is a kind of a remote area from, you know, the rest of the country as far as that's concerned, but you guys have a lot of talent in-state, plus California in the West. You have kind of like, it's like a smorgasbord of recruiting for you. I look at your roster, and you have kids from everywhere. And that's an advantage for you.
It is. It is. And we, we've been fortunate. We've had very good success with the athletes we brought in from Florida, and our starting quarterback, our starting running back, starting wide receiver, all from Florida this year. And it's been a very fertile ground for us. And then mixed in a bunch of in-state kids, we got a bunch of kids on our roster from the state of Utah and then California and Texas. And that's where the majority of the athletes come from. And you're exactly right. It's all about recruiting. It's all about getting the right kids in your program. And then obviously they got to have a certain skill set. But, we've been in the league, I think, going on 9 years now. We've closed the gap. When we got in the league, we felt good about our starting 22. But after that, the depth wasn't really there, and the speed on the perimeter was also something we were a little bit short on. And we think we've made up a lot of ground over the last 8 or 9 years, and we feel pretty good about the team we got coming up, coming in this fall.
You know, Coach, you brought up three, the three players in Tyler Huntley and Zach Moss and also Simpkins. The one thing that we saw during the spring, and we played up more than anything, is they graduated in 3 years. I mean, think about that. I mean, here's guys from completely different part of the region of the country that would go out there and think enough about hitting the books constantly year round to put themselves in a situation where they come back and play next year and they're already graduated. And I mean, if there's not a better selling point for a college program, that's it right there. And we, like I said, we played that up more than any story that we played up during the spring, only because of the fact that it just, you don't hear that anymore. And here's three guys, as I said, worked extremely hard in the classroom and certainly are all starters on your football team coming back for their final year. But and all of them are draft, you look in the draft and all of them have an opportunity to either be drafted or to be invited into some NFL team. So kudos to you guys for doing that and for producing student athletes like that.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I hear you now.
Oh, I'm back. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, we're very proud of our players academically, and that's the primary reason they're coming to University of Utah is to get a degree. It provides a future for them, and those three kids from Florida, you're exactly right. Going into their senior year, they've already graduated, working on master's degrees, and we've got a great situation here academically, great academic support system. And our players excel, and we're very proud of that.
Coach Kyle Whittingham joining us, University of Utah, the head coach. And that's the one thing. I mean, to me, if I'm a parent and you're introducing me to some of your players and all of a sudden you introduce me to those guys, I'm sold. I'm sold already because, look, they're outstanding football players, but they get it done in the classroom. And I'm sure that all the educational powers at your school are pretty much on board on that. And because it's what a sales job that is to just walk in and to know that's what this is for. Because, that's not every college student's intention is not to graduate early. And for them to come in, that's kind of a bonus. Now, you take a look at the spring that you had, and it was a solid spring. The kids all tell me that you got some young kids that stepped up for you. You're going to have some players, that graduated, but you have some younger players that are going to fill in. Talk about that, because in your league, you have to have depth. I mean, you look at every program from Colorado to SC to UCLA to anybody, Arizona State, everybody has kids. So you can't afford to get your top players injured. And if you do, you have to have depth, and that's important. Explain that to people, too.
Well, for sure. I mean, and like I mentioned earlier, when we came in the league, we just, our roster from 1 to 85 just wasn't deep enough to be on par with the rest of the league, and we knew it was going to be a process, and it was going to take some time to build up our numbers and get the depth throughout the roster, and we're not a finished product by any means now, but we have made great strides in that regard, and you're right, you're one play away from going to your number two guy, and two plays away from going to your number three guy, and so the more depth you have, it certainly helps in that regard. It also creates and fosters a great environment at practice. When you get guys competing with each other, and there's someone breathing down your neck, wanting your job. And so I think that, competition is a good thing, and depth creates that. And it's good all the way around.
When you go, and now I know that your schedule during the spring is busy. I'm sure you have to go around the state and the region for speaking engagements to keep the interest, because University of Utah football has been around a long time. The university's been there quite a number of years, and you have a lot of alumni that are all over the place. Now I see you open up against BYU, which used to be the war. I mean, I know things have changed a little bit, but, I mean, is there still that in-state craziness that used to go on, because both teams are, I mean, it's a real rivalry.
It is, without a doubt. It is by far the single biggest sporting event in the state of Utah every single year, and this is a first for us to play it in the opener. That's never happened. We traditionally, when we were both back in the Mountain West and the WAC prior to that, it was the last game of the season, and then recently we've played them anywhere, game 2, 3, 4. Last year, we actually moved it back to the last game of the season again because of the scheduling quirk in our schedule. We've even played them in a bowl game. you know, we did that 3 or 4 years ago, but we have not opened with them, so this is uncharted territory. But I promise you, it's one of the most intense rivalries in the country. In this state, you're either red or blue. There's no in between, and it gets pretty heated.
And you also look too. I mean, I remember when Lavelle Edwards was there, and he just created such a culture at that school. I mean, no matter who was there, and I'm sure you remember all the Robbie Boscos and everybody and the Ty Detmers and everybody who played. They were always competitive, and then Utah started getting in that way, and they were getting the linemen, and they were getting the running backs, and they were getting kids too from Utah, which is important. I mean, you know, you love to go to LA and you like to go to the West Coast for your kids, but if you could get the kids in your own area, which you do. I mean, I look at your roster and you have them pretty much scattered throughout the state. That's important as well from a fan standpoint too. I mean, you guys seem to sell out a lot. You guys have big crowds. It's become a happening, and that's a good thing. I mean, because back in the day, maybe you had to pump up Utah football a little bit more than you do now. Now everybody knows that every Saturday it's going to be a show. Talk about that environment too, because that's got to be a thrill for all of you.
It is. It really is. And it really helps. I mean, when you talk about the rivalry, so many of our players know so many of their players because of the in-state connections. And so that just adds another element, another dynamic to the game. And, you know, it's you mentioned the fans. We've had great support here. We've had over, you know, 9 straight years of sellouts now. It's some 50-something games in a row. And to that end, we're expanding our stadium next year. And
nice.
So that's something that's going to be a big positive. But we've had great support from our fans. And you know, like I said, the community gets excited about this game. And August 29th, it'll be packed down there. We got to play them on the road this year, and
yep,
it'll be a packed house.
I've been there, and it's not an easy place to play, especially when that blue and white is going, and they have a full day to kind of, like, prepare for it and do their little tailgating and their cooking and everything that they do. It's quite an atmosphere. Coach, again, thanks so much for taking the time. I know the people in South Florida love to hear what...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.